Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have a short word I want to share with you tonight. I know you probably need to get home, start getting your pies baked and get ready to, or you need to go home and exercise extra tonight for calories, or you can do like I did, just started a couple of days preparing for eating. And so, I didn't want to be shocked. I didn't want my system shocked all at one time. So I started a couple of days ago building up to the big event. Seemed logical. Yeah, so I got to get some, enough of that sugar flowing through my system to not put me into some kind of shock or something. So praise God. So get your Bibles out and go to the book of Luke chapter 18. I want to read the story Jesus told starts in verse 9. It says, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Verse 13 says, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, and he beat his breast, saying, Be God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Now slip over to Psalms 107. This is two types of thanksgivings. Something we always got to be cautious about. No matter what your story is, of how bad your life is, or how many bad things have happened to you, somebody has a worse story. Should always realize that no matter what's going on, one of the first things that should come to your mind is there's somebody going through something worse than I am. And there's always somebody who went through what you did and came out with a bigger smile than you did. Or you have. I'm amazed that I look at some people in life and I see what goes on in their life and the things that happen and just the problems of life, but the way that they conduct themselves, and then other people, that really don't have anything in the world to complain about and how they conduct themselves. And we're coming to Thanksgiving tomorrow. We're going to be sitting down with family, and the one thing I've always noticed about getting together with family is there's always multiple opinions, right? And everybody has got their thoughts on things and all, and you may not be in agreement with them, or they may be just wanting to be hostile and wanting to stir you up and see how far you can go. But one of the things that we got to remember tomorrow is that we cannot be the Luke 18 Pharisee. We can never put ourselves in a place where we're sitting there saying, God, I'm just thankful I'm not as bad as he is. Because when you get there, now you're just doing that old story I always tell, you're just lining yourself up and who's the worst sinner, Well, it doesn't make any difference who's the worst sin, so it doesn't make any difference, And so we don't want to be that person. We want to be the Psalms 107 person. Starts out verse 1, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. One of the things I'm the most thankful for in life is that we serve a good God. We don't serve a God of anger. We don't serve a God of wrath. We don't serve a God who's sitting on the throne thinking of ways to kill you, what he should have done to you. We don't serve a God that if we don't please him, he punishes us. We serve a God and he's good. Amen? God is good. Right? He's always good. You got to remember, God always wants good for you. He always wants good in every situation. He always wants things to work out good. God is ever good, and perfect gift comes down from heaven above, right? If it's good, it's God. So on a side note then, that means pecan pie comes from heaven by inspiration of somebody who started making pecan pies. It may be a stretch, but, you know, it's good. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Every time in my life I'm faced with a situation, I have to stop, and I have to, at that point, ask the Lord, okay, God, I know You want good for this. He's a God that takes all the bad things and turns them to good. You're a good God. Your only response to me is good. So, Lord, I'm just going to start out by giving You thanks. God, I thank You You're good. I thank You that You didn't smoke me. You didn't fry me. You pulled me out of the pig pen of life. God, you saved my soul. God, You sent Jesus. And when you begin to do that, your whole life and your whole attitude and everything begins to change because God is good. Even in death, God is good. We step from life to life. You know what I'm saying? God is good. There's no, for a Christian who's serving the Lord and all that's directed towards Him, I really believe we can't even understand the goodness of God that's directed towards us. Because we look at this world and the crookedness and the bitterness and the manipulation and everything goes on in the world and it turns you sour. But we always have to forget about the world. Forget about it. You got to look to the kingdom of God. And say, what kind of a kingdom is this? A kingdom full of goodness, full of mercy. It says, He who and gather out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He said, forget it, you sorry people. You never did serve Me. I mean, that's what you would expect it to say, wouldn't you? But no, it says, and they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress, and He led them by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul, and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's our God. That's who we serve. We can never, ever forget that. We can never, ever get our eyes off that. You will have no thanks in your heart if your eyes come off of that. He goes on to verse 10. Those who sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and irons. Why? Why? Because they rebelled against the words of the Lord. Why were they in darkness? Because they rebelled against the words of the Lord. Did God do it? No, they just rebelled against His word. And He despised the counsel of the Most High. And he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He saved them out of their distress. Woo! I'm glad to know, even when I'm messing up, listen, even if I'm in darkness because I'm not walking in the word of the Lord, I'm just so thankful to know that when I finally wise up and I turn to Him and I cry out to the Lord in my trouble, He hears my cry and He delivers me from my distress. That means no matter how many times you just become an idiot. You say, well, we don't do that. No, I know all of us have done that. You become angry. You become, you know, embittered. You become, something hits you and you begin to think about this. And then that thought's coming to you. And then it's just right there. And it's, oh my God, it's going to overcome you and whatever. And then all of a sudden you just have to stop and say, wait a minute. What am I doing? I'm in darkness. I got to turn to the word of the Lord. You turn to the Lord. And what is He going to do? He's there to deliver you. That's why I'm thankful. I'm thankful I serve a God who wants to deliver me. I think I serve a God who's good, that He wants to give, He wants to do good, that I can stand here at this pulpit tonight and preach to this crowd of hundreds of thousands of people and tell them tonight that my God is a good God. And that he only wants the best for you. He only wants the greatest for you. He only wants to deliver you from your distress and give you goodness. Amen? Then he says here, let's go to 14. And he brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze. He's cut the bars of iron into. There's nothing that can get between you and God. But you and your free will. He'll cut down the gates. He'll break down the walls. He'll tear down whatever he's got to tear down to get you the deliverance you need. Fools, because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls had ordered all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distress. He sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Right? What do we have to be thankful for tomorrow? Well, you know, I'm glad that we live in America, and I'm glad these other things, and I'm glad I got a roof over my head, and I'm glad that my heater works, and I'm glad that, you know, I got these little comforts, but I'll tell you what I'm really glad of, because they can strip it all from me. In a moment, the wind could blow and everything be gone, but I'm just glad I can stand upon the rock and say, man, God, you are good. You want to deliver me. You are for me. You are not against me. The world may be reeling and throwing stuff, but God, you are here for me. You're going to deliver me. You're the one that's going to set us free. You're the one that's going to bring me mercy and grace. Man, we can never forget it, church. We can never forget it. We can never let that go off of our breath. Our prayers should start out, God, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you're the God who delivers me. I thank you. Now, what does that do for God? Just think about that. What does that do for God? When you're standing there, his child, that he wants your love and affection, and you're standing there saying, God, man, I thank you. You are awesome. You're amazing. Nobody is as good as you are. You can beat them, Daddy. I know you can. 23 says, those who go down into the sea in ships and do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Now, that's a scripture for my life, because I believe what God spoke to me one day out of that scripture right there was simply this: Robert, if you'll step out in faith and you'll trust and believe in me, you'll see mighty things happen. If you'll go out onto the sea in ships and you'll do business on great waters, you're going to see the wonders of the Lord and his mighty works in the deep. But if you don't, if you leave your ship tied up at the harbor the whole time and you never get out, you never launch out in your ship, you never believe in God for anything, you know what? You don't get to see the Lord move on the mighty waters. You don't get to see the great things that God can do. You don't get to see God's delivering hand. You don't get him to see the tearing down the bars of iron and the gates of steel and the brick walls and the rocks and the stumbling blocks and all the things in your life. You don't get to see that. But if you want to go out on the sea with the Lord, it's scary. The sea's big and your boat may not be that big. But by faith, he's the God that walks on the sea. Have you ever thought about this? Why in the world did Jesus send his disciples over on the boat to the other side of the sea when he was there? I don't know if they thought that he was going to get a taxi across or, you know, they bound him. No, he's leaving. Well, Lord, how are you going to get there? I don't worry, but I'll be there. And then all of a sudden, why of all things, he could have translated to the other side. He could have been sitting on the other side cooking fish. But he chose to walk on the water. Just chose to walk on the water. Just chose to do something that's so outlandish. And he's walking on the water. I have got to see that DVD when I get to heaven. Because I have just run this through my mind so many times. Because it said that the waves, there was waves. And if you're in the ocean and there's waves, you know, I'm just questioning, did he walk up the wave and over the wave? Did he walk through the wave? Did the wave part? You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He could have surfed. It was hard. It could have been like ice. Could have got to the front and went, woo, and then went to the next wave, woo, you know, I don't know. But I just know that is one of the coolest stories to me, and I cannot wait to see how he did that. And I just, when I see that story and I read that story, what I just say, what I see about the character of Jesus is, you know, you are so cool. You are so unreligious and so cool. And then I think, did he get wet? Did his robe get wet? You know? Peter steps out of the boat and walks over to him, and he walked on the water, and then, you know, he began to sink, so it's not like there was a, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It wasn't like there was a sheet of plywood sitting there he's standing on, and then, you know, I just don't know. I just, it's always boggled my mind, but it just shows me the character of Christ. He's so cool. I'm glad that's my Jesus. I'm glad I can say, Lord, I thank you that you're that cool. You're not just some stuffed, shirted, old religious, old God that, you know, is just looking at you. You're that kind of a God. You want to walk on. It's like you want to say, come on out on the water with me. Come on out. Come on out on the water with me. Let me show you something new. And we're like saying, no, Lord, I wish you would just do this for me. And I want you to do it this way. Because I feel secure with that happening. Isn't that us? Our prayers, I mean, you know, and like I said, I've always said about the charismatics, is it depends on how charismatic or Pentecostal you are, you know, a word of faith, whatever you be, you just line up more scriptures that you find trying to get everything to line up in the prayer the way you want the prayer to happen, and it comes about, all you're really doing is being an extreme control freak. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. We're not saying, okay, Lord, you want me to go out on the sea with you? That seems cool. We're like, no, Lord, that's a little insecure. I would rather you just, I pray in the name of Jesus, take this boat to the other side now. Calm the storm. You said I could say, peace be still. Peace be still. I don't want any waves. I'm getting seasick. Get me to the other side, Lord. I want to be translated over there now. You did it with Elijah. You said you would. You said if you did it for one man, you'd do it for another. I want to be translated now in the name of Jesus. And he's saying, no. Come on out on the water. I want to show you something new. And you're like, no, in the name of Jesus, I say, get me to the other side now. I'm not comfortable with this. Rather than saying, okay, Jesus, man, I just thank you. You're so cool. I trust you. What do you want to do? How do you want to work this out? Oh, Lord, there's a new problem in my life. I didn't know. So how do you want to work this one out? I mean, you got something really cool you want to do? I'm just thankful that he's a God that delivers us. And I'm thankful that he's a God who wants us to go out on the sea. It says, for he commands and raises the stormy sea and lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that the waves are still, so that they are glad and they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. We always end up in the right place if we'll just be thankful and trust God and say, Lord, I just know you got my best interest. I just know you're going to make this work out. I know you're going to do it, Lord. I don't know. You know? I may be at my wit's end. I may be tired. I may be reeling to and fro. But you're going to get me to the desired haven. That's what you want me to do. That's where you want me to be. You're going to do it. Let's go have some fun. We're going to run on the water, whatever we're going to do. We're going to go wave, surfing, whatever. I don't care, Lord. Whatever you want to do. I just trust you because I know you got my best interest. And I really think that's what it comes down to. Do we trust the Lord that he has our best interest and that he is a good God and he does want the best for us? Or are we plagued with religiosity saying, well, but I didn't do something right the other day, and then maybe because I didn't do something right, then I'm going to have to pay for that penalty, and then I'm going to have to do this, and the devil's really going to, you know, eat on me and chew on my leg for a while before I get free because if I got, you know. That's what religious people do. I'm the quickest repenter on the face of the earth. minute the Holy Spirit just touched my heart, I said, did I think, Lord, I repent. I don't know if I did wrong or not, but I repent in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood, Lord. Plead the blood, plead the blood. I'm believing, trusting in you. He said, well, you didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. I'm just going to repent anyway. Just in case there's something that I'm not looking at right here. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. First things off my lips every morning, Lord, I repent. Amen? So, this Thanksgiving, let's don't be pharisaical. Let's don't just be glad you're not as bad as somebody else. But let's be people who are really thankful of how good our God is. Amen? And then He's got your best interest. Amen? Well, glory to God. Look at the person beside you and saying, hey, I'm thankful. Well, praise God. Do we need to take up an offering tonight? Or y'all want to just double up on Sunday? Just double down on Sunday. Is that be okay? Or do y'all want to take up an offering? Somebody got an offering? You got to get in there tonight? All right. I got money back here, Bill, so I guess let's take up our offering. We got cash. We're going for it. Praise you, Jesus. So then put your hand over your offering and let's just pray over it. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that these are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. I thank you, Lord, that if you have all of us, you have goodness for us, then I declare, Lord, that you bless in extremely obvious ways. Lord, you bless, bless, bless. And that when people say things are going bad or this is going south or that, the other, well then, Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name that we are blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. Amen.